You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. He has spent some two decades studying pandas and people in a remote corner of China. And that work by Jack Liu of Michigan State University is yielding powerful lessons in sustainability. Jack Liu is a human environment scientist and sustainability scholar at Michigan State, where he directs the Center for Systems Integration and Sustainability. Jack, welcome.
Thank you.
Now, you began working in the Wolong Nature Reserve, and it's home to both giant pandas and people. And you started about 20 years ago. What brought you there, and what were you looking for?
The main reason was trying to understand how humans and their wildlife interact and how we could generate lessons for managing the wildlife and for both humans and nature to thrive.
Give us an idea of what's at the nature reserve. How many pandas? How many people?
Yeah, the nature reserve is for panda conservation. It was established in 1975. And besides about 10% of the wild pandas in the reserve, that's about 150-160 pandas in the wild. And also there are about 5,000 local people inside the reserve who depend on the forest and the land for their livelihood.
So it was a really great laboratory for you, wasn't it?
Yes, it's an excellent laboratory for studying coupled human and natural systems. By coupled human and natural system, we mean those systems which humans interact with the natural system and how the natural system will have impact on the humans as well.
So what were your early findings, Jack? And then from that, have your findings changed through the years?
Yeah, one of the early findings was very surprising because usually people expect that after an area is established as a nature reserve, the habitat for the pandas should get better. But what we found is the opposite. We found that the habitat for the pandas actually was getting worse faster than the reserve was established in 1975. Also, inside the reserve, the habitat was worse than outside of the reserve. So this was really surprising and unexpected for us as well in the beginning. And then we had to understand the reasons behind this unexpected results.
What did you come to understand? What were some of the reasons for those results?
What we found is that inside of the nature reserve, the human population size had been increasing a lot, actually by about 70%. Since the reserve was established. More importantly, the number of households has increased about 170%. Then if you have so many more people, so many more households, then they need more land, more forest, which happen to be habitat for the pandas. So they have to cut down the forest. That's a destruction for the panda habitat.
So these findings in your research, how has that work affected conservation policies in China?
Well, in the beginning, it was difficult because the government and even the conservation community did not believe the result because they said that's just impossible because they spend so much time, so much effort, so much resources to protect the habitat. And what we reported was so counterintuitive. And so they investigated, and then finally, after a number of months, they found our result was accurate. So from that time on, there was a big turning point change. So they asked us to find solutions to the problem. So we worked with the government and the local management and implement new policies and help people as well. So provide more conservation subsidies to the local people, and then the local people do not need to go to the forest and to go to the panda habitat to cut down the forest. People are happier, people live a better life, and then their habitat also has been recovering.
So what sounds like when you look at people and you look at nature, you've realized and proven it doesn't have to be either or, it can be and.
Yes, exactly. That's something that I think a really rewarding experience and change people's perception and also attitude towards conservation, because one of the main challenges is that the people there are already for generations. The government may try to move people out, but the people could not move out or they don't want to move out. So what we propose is to really help the local people by providing subsidies to them in the long run. We're also trying to encourage the government to provide better education for the children of the local people so that they can get a higher education and then they can go to college, go to technical schools and find jobs in the cities and elsewhere so they don't rely on the natural reserve for the local resources anymore. That's really good for the people too.
There is a book out that looks into the work you've been doing. It's called Pandas and People, Coupling Human and Natural Systems for Sustainability. And in that book, there's discussion of telecoupling. So take us further. What is telecoupling?
Telecoupling is a new term, and which means the interactions, social, economic interaction, and the environment interactions take place across distance. So this natural reserve, for example, is in a remote area, but actually has a lot of interactions with the rest of the world, in the U.S., from Europe, and the other parts of the world. And through a lot of things, like tourism, a lot of people from around the world visit the natural reserve. They go to the reserve to see the pandas, to see the local landscapes. Also, the local people produce agricultural products. To sell the product to the city people. That's another way of interaction between the local natural reserve and the people in the cities. There are many different types of interactions over distance. So that really gave us a new framework to understand how the world is getting smaller, how the interactions across different regions of the world are getting stronger, and how we consider those kind of stronger interactions in the management, in the people's livelihood, even in some remote areas of the world.
So with these lessons in sustainability that you've learned through your work, Jack, at the Wolong Nature Reserve, what do you believe telecoupling will mean ultimately for humankind and for our planet?
Yeah, I think it's very important. Telecoupling could have both positive or negative impact. So it's important to understand their consequences, both short-term and long-term, in different locations, not just in the nature reserve, but also in other parts of the world. I think that's very important for us to figure out how to manage the planet for the future and how to design new policies which could help people and help pandas and other wildlife species, and not just in China, but across the whole world.
Well, now that pandas, Jack, have been declared no longer endangered but vulnerable, what do you think your role has been in that, and where do you go from here?
I think our research results have helped to understand the interaction between people and the pandas and help improve the policy and the management. I think it's important that this kind of work continues, and we are very gratified that this positive change have taken place. But in the long run, there are many tasks ahead of us. One example is that global climate change is intensifying. We don't know what kind of impact this global climate change will have on the future of the pandas, especially on the bamboo, because bamboo is the main food source for the pandas. So if bamboo disappear after climate change takes place, then there is a serious consequences for sustainability of the pandas. So we are working on this new project to evaluate how climate change will have impact on the pandas and hope the information will be useful for the government to develop long-term solutions and policies for conserve the pandas and help people in the decades or centuries to come.
It certainly seems like there are many challenges and much work for those who are going to come after you, for the students who are working with you now and future sustainability scholars.
Yes, they are. That's why we wrote that book, because the book is a synthesis of the work that we did in the past 2 decades. So the book has some good lessons that we learned, and we want to share those lessons with the young people and with other scientists as well, and also with the policymakers so that we work together, can help people and the future generations to manage the planet in a sustainable way. Also, I think the future provides a lot of opportunities for the younger generation to do interdisciplinary research, because one of the main lessons we learned is that to protect the pandas or other wildlife species, we need to understand how people respond to those policies and other government initiatives. So it's important to balance people's needs and the wildlife's needs. So if we want to protect the wildlife species, either panda bears or polar bears or other species, I think it's important to take people's needs into consideration.
You can read more about Jack Liu's work in the book Pandas and People, Coupling Human and Natural Systems for Sustainability. Jack is the director of the Center for Systems Integration and Sustainability at Michigan State University. Jack, thank you so much for sharing your work with us today on Stateside.
My pleasure. Thank you.